By some accounts, the church may not look like much. People on the outside looking in may view our weekly elements of worship and Bible study here to be mundane or perhaps even useless. And yet we've been studying this year every reason, well, many reasons, why we have to love His church. Because we are beloved by God. We've been called to be His people through His wonderful gospel message. We're a people who are gathered to worship. We're a people who have been given shepherds to help us and guide us. We're a people who are united as His body, made holy. We're His saints, and we're joined together as His family. Yes, God has a marvelous plan for His church, and God's going to see it through. The mission, the plan that God has for us as His people is a global one. And this work is an all-hands-on-deck task. As we consider together this morning Philippians 1, verses 3 through 5 or 6, we're going to see that we are to partner with each other as we spread the gospel from this location. Here in Henderson and in the community and throughout our county and the neighboring areas, we are gospel partners given a message by God to go out for God. And then, of course, we also have parts far beyond Chester County, both domestic and abroad. Perhaps you've seen this slide that Jennifer has made for us. It's been in our bulletin lately and also on our announcement slides, highlighting some of the mission, in fact, the mission points that we are involved with from this location. And we see the red dots that go all across this globe, as local as Tunica, Mississippi, and as far away as New Zealand. God has always had a plan for the whole world. You go back into the Old Testament, and you might think that the Old Testament, primarily a covenant that was made to Hebrew people, the descendants of Abraham through Isaac and Jacob, and yet it was from the very beginning the plan of God that through the offspring of Abraham, all nations of the world would be blessed. Genesis 22, verses 17 and 18. So Jesus comes, and yes, primarily ministering to and interacting with individuals who were Jews, and yet at the end, before He ascended, He tells them, "All authority's been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you, and I'm with you always to the end of the age." After Jesus' ascension back to heaven, His apostles went about preaching. And as individuals were converted to Jesus, a group of those individuals in one location would be established together as a congregation of God's people. They would be equipped with leadership over time as they matured and as they grew. These churches then in turn would invest in the planting of gospel seed, both in faraway communities and places and nearer to them, partnering with these preachers, these apostles, these first century New Testament time prophets and evangelists who would go out and continue to spread this message of the gospel. And though the preachers were the ones who made it out front, they never worked alone. The gathered people of God, His church, were indispensable gospel partners. So Paul would reference some of them. Timothy and Titus in Romans 16 and 2 Corinthians chapter 8 are called Paul's fellow workers. And sure, that makes sense because they were preachers too, right? But then we keep reading throughout passages like Romans chapter 16, verse 3, where Aquila and Priscilla are mentioned as fellow workers of Paul. And even in Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, Paul has to make a statement about some women who evidently are unable to resolve some quarreling that's happening between them. And yet, the present circumstance doesn't remove past faithfulness and good work that they've done. He calls them, Philippians 4 verse 3, fellow workers in the context of gospel work. Every Christian in this room this morning has a place in gospel work. And as we consider the vital and important role of His church and the many reasons why we have to love it, one of those that rises to the top is that we together are partners for the gospel. How exactly do we do that? Turning our attention once again to Philippians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3, I think we see in the subsequent verses three ways that we can partner together for the gospel. Number one, we partner through prayer. We partner through prayer. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, he says, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. Paul mentioned prayer some three or four times in just those two little verses there in Philippians chapter 1. He says, I have been praying for you. I'm grateful for you. When I think about you, it excites me with joy of the Lord. I'm constantly, when I consider you, offering thanks to God for you and because of you. Prayer is gospel work. It's not passive. Perhaps we might think that individuals who are sitting in a room together, or maybe one Christian who is in his or her proverbial prayer closet, maybe someone who isn't really active in doing very much work. And yet Paul, right out of the gate in the Epistle of Joy, mentions the importance of prayer, the vitality of prayer to the work, the import, the necessity of prayer to the work of gospel spreading. We give a lot of attention to Bible study, to teaching, to preaching. And of course we should. We don't give equal attention to prayer. Sure, we'll pray multiple times throughout our service together. And yes, we've prayed before our Bible classes began, in all likelihood, or definitely at the end. Are we praying about the gospel message? Are we praying for souls to be reached? Are we praying by name for individuals who are lost and who desperately need to come in contact with the message of the gospel? Are we praying for those who are on the front lines, so to speak, advancing the message of the gospel? If I flip forward just a little bit past Philippians to Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, Paul says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, he says, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Paul says, I want you to continue steadfastly in the practice of prayer. Don't give up on the discipline of prayer. You need it. The church needs it. But also the sake of the gospel being propagated to other parts of the world relies on our collective prayers. And Paul says, I even want you to pray for me. Sometimes we get the notion that if we ask somebody else to pray for us, that somehow that's selfish, or somehow I'm burdening another person. All you're doing is asking someone to take your name before God, who is able to actually do something about it. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters in Jesus who are laboring for Jesus in difficult parts of the world. I think about announcements that have recently been made about some new to this congregation missionaries that we are now a part of their work, the Parkers over in Cyprus. And of course, our own Tessa is over there with them. And I've been reading those Facebook posts. Isn't it amazing that we can stay in touch with people from Cyprus in like real time? I don't even understand the time difference between Henderson and Cyprus, but I'm able to read the stuff when Brother Wayne or Sister Christy post about it. And I'm reading about, yes, the good work that they're doing, but the struggles along the way of trying to plant and form congregations of God's people in an area where it is so difficult. And there's a sense in which there's a little bit of irony there, because this is literally places that have roots steeped in biblical culture. And yet, so far removed from that time, so far away from that reality. Are we praying for people like the Parkers? Isn't it great to have the Gominis with us? And I think about the great work that our brother Sam does when he's not here. And then when his girls are able to go over and to join him in that work. And they're all working as a family, laboring together for the gospel. And then he comes here, and in a sense, he's a missionary to us because he's encouraging us and lifting our spirits along the way, even as we're trying to reciprocate that to recharge his batteries before he goes back out. We partner through prayer. Not only do we forfeit peace when we neglect prayer, as the old song says, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit," but we also perhaps fail to tap into potential that exists for the gospel because we're not, through prayer, relying on God. Ephesians 6, I believe, describes prayer as a part of the Christian armament. In verse 18, he says, "Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." Now we've read it two different times, once in Ephesians 6, 19 and 20, and once in Colossians 4. Verses 3, 4, and 5, where even the Apostle Paul is saying, "I need your prayers that God will help me to boldly proclaim the message of the gospel," that God would open doors for the gospel. "You have not because you ask not," James says. I wonder if sometimes doors are not opened because we haven't asked for them to be opened. Because our hearts are too focused on whether we'll know the answer to the question that they're going to ask, or whether they will accept our invitation to a worship service or a Bible study, or whether that will make our relationship with them weird. And to that point, it's all about us. We've hung evangelism, and we've made, instead of gospel partners, we've made it all hinge on us, and we've taken God completely out of the equation. Last time I checked, Paul may have planted and Apollos may have watered, but God gave the increase. And next Sunday at Neighbor Day, if there's any increase that comes, it will be by the blessing of God on our efforts. And this weekend at the barbecue festival, if we're able to make any kind of meaningful connection with the individuals who pass by our booth, the brownies and the cookies will be a good start, but we'll get in. Sometimes you get in through the stomach, right? And then from there, we'll be able, hopefully, to engage for the gospel and to just show people the love of Jesus. It's just a step. It's not a Bible study per se, though it could lead to one, but it's a first step. It's a foot in the door. It's a welcome mat. That's what some of this is all about. Let's be prayerful about the opportunities that are before us. How can we support fellow Christians and missionaries in prayer? And let me ask you this. I'm asking myself too. Are we relying on God for the gospel work? That doesn't mean we sit back and let Him do it all. He's given some things into our hands, right? But that does mean that we ask His blessings and for His wisdom and for opportunities and for boldness and for clarity. And don't we need all those things that can come uniquely from Him? We partner through prayer, but number two, we also partner in the gospel through our participation. We come to verse 5 and we realize that what has evoked such joyful memory of the Philippian church toward Paul is because, verse 5, of their partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Okay, here are people who have offered support to Paul. And if you're reading from the New King James Version, you'll see that instead of partnership, it says fellowship in the gospel. The New American Standard Bible says your participation in the gospel. And the same term that is translated here, partnership, participation, or fellowship, this is that word with which many of us are familiar. It refers to this fellowship, this joint participation in. And the same word is used down in chapter 4, where Paul refers to, in verses 15 and following, a monetary gift that has been given. So specifically, Paul is thanking God for these people because through their money, they have supported his gospel work. Oh boy, every time a missionary comes, all he says he needs is more money, right? Isn't that what we think sometimes? Maybe he really does, by the way. Maybe he does need more money. It seems like every time we turn around, there's something else for which money is needed. Absolutely there is. Gospel work is, I suppose, like any other work in the sense that it does take money to make it happen. And this church understands that. You've shown up time and time again when it really counted to make things happen. Amazing and wonderful things happen. The Philippians had supported Paul financially. They stood with him in his ministry. You know, living in an age as blessed as our age is, the temptation could be that we write checks or send money in place of gospel work, as though that's all that gospel work that is necessary. Later in Philippians chapter 1, Paul will say in verse 27, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ." So what I do with my money is to reflect my manner of life. And my manner of life is to be reflected in how I do things and how I use the money that I have. And here it's like Paul is giving us sort of both sides and balancing this out a little bit. It is important that we partner together financially. And it's also important that we partner together in actually living like this, being the people that we're supposed to be. You know, it's true, and we've said it for years, that in some cases we're the only Bible that anybody will really ever read. They may not pick up a book and open it initially, but they'll be exposed to it and perhaps even either drawn to it or repelled from it by the way that we live it. And so to participate in the gospel includes both faithfulness to the gospel in our conduct, but also in our giving. This time last week, we were asking for some support from you. Not in the terms of dollars and cents, but instead in terms of cookies and brownies. And last time I checked, that costs dollars and cents, doesn't it? And then you had to buy the little individual baggies so you could individually wrap them all. And boy, by Wednesday into Thursday, and certainly on Friday, the whole church office smelled like a bakery. It was amazing. There was a cooler that's about this wide or so and about this tall. And by Wednesday evening, we couldn't close the lid. We had placed all the brownies and the cookies in there that you had brought. Well, Wednesday afternoon, of course, the hurricane track was solidifying. We were beginning to get a pretty good idea of what was going to happen, and the individuals over at the Chamber of Commerce met, and they decided we need to wait on this. Nobody wants to be out in the rain and the wind and the considerations about all the different events. And so we said, you know, these things were given for outreach, to bless people's lives and to try and cause people to think well of Jesus and his church. So we began to brainstorm ways that we could utilize the things that you had given that would accomplish the purpose for which you had given those. Some of you had not yet made or had not yet brought the things that you had made. And so some of you gave some of those things to the Fried Hardeman Associates, and that's a worthy endeavor, and we're grateful for that. The rest of the things were used and utilized by some of our university students, thanks to Matt Soko and the university ministry, who went on University Servants Day this past Thursday and delivered some of those goodies to some of our shut-ins, but also to every resident at Southern Oaks. We affixed little labels on each one of those bags. Caleb Norwood and I spent a good while labeling the bags with these little labels that said, "We hope this brightens your day and we love you from the Henderson Church of Christ." And those were distributed. And then on Thursday morning, Caleb and I went around to 15 different locations passing these out. We just showed up at places of businesses, at school offices, and we said, "Hey, we had had all these things prepared for this event for this weekend, and it got rained out. We don't want them to go bad. You know, we could have frozen them, but is that really our best foot forward, right, to give people this weekend something that's been frozen for a week, you know?" And so we just said, "Okay, let's try and bless people's lives with this." And it put a smile on people's faces, and they were surprised that we even did it. We took about 50 bags of cookies and brownies to the Carl Perkins Center to be given to children as they came in for their activities after school on Thursday. I tell you that because you did that. You participated in that, even though you may not have known anything about it happening until now. There were a bunch of them that were on a table there right as you checked out at the rummage sale this weekend. They weren't for sale. There was a big sign that said, "These are free." But every one of those things was labeled. And I know because Caleb and my fingerprints are on all those. And you know, every one of them was labeled there and just given to people. And you think about the statement that hopefully made about who we are and what we're about. We took some to the laundromat and just left them sitting out there with a sign that said, "These are free from your friends at the Henderson Church of Christ." We were just trying to think of ways to connect these goodies with somebody. And you think, what does that have to do with anything? Jesus said, "Yeah, I know the multitudes are hungry, but don't send them away. Let's provide them something to eat. Let's bless them." Not a lot of nourishment and sustenance from cookies and brownies, right? Nevertheless, it's a statement of warmth, of goodness, of grace. I like to think through love of Jesus. By the way, we don't have any cookies and brownies for this weekend barbecue festival. And if you're able to help out, we'd really appreciate that. I'm not joking. There's a new sign-up sheet in the board. I'm really not joking. This is my spill for you. I know that this Saturday is Ladies' Day. So guys, we may need to step up on Saturday to make sure the booth is manned. And ladies, it may be that you can come on Friday evening or maybe Saturday afternoon. We don't want to overburden you. We want you to support the Ladies' Day. I know our youth group's going to be out of town on fall retreat, and so the rest of us can step up. And hey, maybe you thought, "I'd really like to have baked something last weekend, but I couldn't." So maybe this is your opportunity now, okay? We need things here by Thursday afternoon, if you can, to the church office. And there are sign-up sheets out there on the tables. We'd appreciate your participation in that. Are you a participant or a spectator in the work of the gospel? You know, each one of us has a role. And I want to ask us this too. Are we concerned more about credit, or are we concerned about the gospel? At the end of the day, it doesn't matter who was the one who planted and who was the one who watered. It's about God who gave the increase. That's what this is about. Who baked the goodies and who delivered them? It's just about getting things to the places where they needed to go. It's just about blessing lives. Who's standing there at the booth this weekend, or who made the things that we're distributing as we're standing there? Who secured the study and studied with the person, or who assisted that person in baptism? None of that really matters. We just rejoice that the work is being done. We participate in that together. We work together for the cause of Christ. Here's number three. We also partner through perseverance. That is, we don't give up. See, gospel partnership is a lifelong journey. Listen to verse 6 of Philippians 1. I am sure of this. Don't you love the way he says that? I'm confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It's almost like what Paul says in Galatians. Do not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we'll reap if we do not lose heart, if we do not faint. Gospel work is for the long haul. I didn't ask her if I could share this story, but I hope she won't mind. I'll get forgiveness later. Tuesday afternoon, Miss Sylvia called me at the church office and said, Robert, I'm here at Southern Oaks. I've got a lady who wants to be baptized. Can you come talk with her a minute? I'll be there as soon as I can. Got in the truck, ran down the road, got out and came in contact and met Miss Bridget Rich. Evidently, over the past several, I don't know how long, Miss Sylvia, along with Miss Maureen McKnight, have been trying to shine the light of Jesus in their interactions with Miss Bridget. So much so, through conversation as well as through influence, that when on Tuesday they sat down to bingo, Miss Bridget turns to Miss Sylvia and says, I want to be baptized. I asked Miss Sylvia if she said bingo right then. You know, I had the privilege of going over there, and we used Miss Sylvia's Bible to engage Miss Bridget with the gospel. I'd say a little bit, then Miss Sylvia would help to make sure, based on the things she knew about Miss Bridget, that she was understanding the things that she had learned. And I had to take the picture, Miss Sylvia, I'm sorry, because I'm thinking, here's someone who's in it for the long haul. Here's someone who sees the gospel mission wherever she goes. Miss Sylvia, and I didn't get Miss Maureen, she was sitting on the other side, but she was just as involved. After studying the Bible for a moment, we made arrangements to meet here at the building, and Miss Bridget was baptized. Look at that. Don't look at my goofy reaction, okay? It was just a moment of joy. The church received a thank you card from Miss Bridget that I've just received earlier today, and she's thanking all of us for support and kindness and visits and calls and study and truth. Perseverance. Paul says, God is going to bring your work to a completion. I wonder this morning, are you feeling burned out? Are you feeling disconnected from God? Are you feeling adrift in life? Become active in gospel work. Get a front row seat to the power of the gospel, which is still God's power of God to salvation, to everyone who believes, whether they're Jew or Greek. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. What a wonderful way to be gospel focused. What a wonderful motivation to keep us going even when challenges arise. Because ultimately our confidence is in God's ability, not in our own strength. I wonder this morning, are you as a Christian in it for the long haul? Or do you feel as though you've already done your time in the past? That makes it sound like a prison sentence, doesn't it? I did my time. Okay? You know, the Lord calls you to life. Life more abundantly. And that's just one of the ways that we can be gospel partners. Imagine what it's going to be like when we all get to heaven. And as we, having sung a moment ago, bring in the sheaves. That is to say, we're there with the individuals whom we assisted to come to the gospel. Jesus is the one who did the work. It's not that we take any credit for the sheaves that we bring, but we've been laboring for the harvest about which Jesus told us to pray in Matthew 9, 37 and 38. And now we're standing there in heaven with people that we know we had some small part in helping them to be there at that great eternal day. To know that there are individuals who have come to Christ through the work of the gospel in Bennington. To know that there are individuals who have come to Christ because of the work in Tampa. Because of the work in India. Because of the work in Thailand. I've never been to these places. I've never even met the first person from there unless the preacher happened to come here to visit or was here for lectureship. But to know that through our monetary participation in the gospel, through our prayers and through our perseverance, we're not giving up. We're going to continue on and then think, I invited that person to Neighbor Day and that launched something that I never dreamed was possible. That person reacted in a way to that invitation positively that I never thought could happen. And then Bible studies happened, good religious conversations. And next thing I knew, they were obeying Jesus in baptism. And you know, I've heard stories, and you have too. Some of you have lived them, where 20 or 30 years down the road, that individual may be serving as a deacon or teaching a ladies' Bible class, blessing untold numbers of people. All because of something that seemed at the beginning very small. What will it be like on that day when we hear him say, well done, and then we'll rest from our labors, confident that our works, our deeds have followed? Are you involved in gospel work? I want you to consider how seriously you can be involved in the work of the gospel from this place. Realizing that even support work is part of gospel work. That we're fellow workers together. Workers together ultimately with God. You're a part of this through prayer, through your participation financially and otherwise, and through perseverance. Brothers and sisters, we have work to do. Let's partner together in the beautiful, wonderful message of the gospel. This morning, if you're not a Christian, I want you to hear the gospel. See, the good news is Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, came from heaven to earth to die on the cross for your sins and for mine. He offers you hope and freedom, forgiveness from your past, and hope relative to your future. And if you have questions about that, we want to discuss with you and share with you this good news message about a Savior who means so much to us. And I know he will to you when you learn more. This morning, maybe you're ready to put him on in baptism and to become a New Testament Christian, and we would rejoice to witness that this morning. If you're struggling in your faith, and maybe you do feel disconnected from God, or maybe you feel delinquent in your partnership for the gospel, it's a great opportunity to start over, to go to God and to ask for cleansing and forgiveness, and to be supported and encouraged by your family. We're here to help. Come if you need to while we stand and sing.